Chapter 6, The Yoga of Meditation, about the nature of yoga and reincarnation. The Supreme Lord said, "One who is not taking to the fruits and does his work dutiful is of the renounced ardor and a yogi, but not he who is without the fire and does not do his duty. Know that what is called sannyas is what links one to the Supreme, O son of Pandu. Surely never will anyone become a transcendentalist who does not give up the selfish motive." Of the sage who has just begun, one says it is by means of work that one links up, while of the ones who attained it is said that it is surely the sameness that is the means of yoga. When surely he is never for the good of the senses engaged in the necessary fruit of labor, at that time he is a renouncer of selfhood, elevated in yoga, one says. One must free oneself by mindfulness and never put oneself down, as surely that self-interest is indeed as well the friend of the soul as the self its enemy. The mindful is the best friend of that living soul who by himself conquered himself, but to those who are soulless, the same mindfulness stays as an enemy. Those who conquered mindfully and thus attained to peace have reached the supersoul, its sameness, in cold and heat, happiness and distress, as well as honor and dishonor. The soul, satisfied by knowledge and wisdom, is in the spiritual and in the control over his senses united, and thus, one says, the yogi is indifferent about a clod of dirt, a stone or gold. And to have towards well-wishers, friends and enemies, neutrals and arbiters, hating ones and good-willing relatives, as well as to the pious as the sinners, an equal intelligence, is even more advanced. The spiritual person must always remember himself being alone in a secluded position, in controlled consciousness, without distraction and concerns about possessions. At a sanctified spot, he should put a seat, not too high nor too low, covering a filling with soft cloth, and then clear his busy mind to be one-pointed of heart with his senses and activities in assuming postures of yoga. Keeping the body, head and neck straight, not moving, he should gaze at the tip of his nose without looking elsewhere, with a calm self, without fear and loyal to the celibate, the one connecting should sit to subdue the mind, concentrating on me as the ultimate goal. Constantly practicing the soulfulness as mentioned, the meditator with a regulated mind attains to the peace and heavenly abode of spiritual union. But nor is there yoga, eating too much, or with fasting excessively either, and also not with one who sleeps too much, or with one who stays awake, O Arjuna. With the regulation of eating and recreating, the duties of maintenance and sleep and wakefulness, the yoga practice will put an end to the misery. When, disciplined this way, the consciousness, for sure, has become situated in transcendence without hankering after sense gratification, then one is thus said to be united. The comparison to a lamp out of the wind that is not wavering is what one is reminded of with a yogi whose balanced consciousness is connected in constantly being engaged in the soul. In that state, wherein the consciousness stills by doing yoga, the self that realizes its position in the mindfulness of the soul becomes satisfied. The supreme happiness, of which one knows that by intelligence it can be accessed in the transcendence, will surely him who is situated in it never remove from the truth. And anything else which by the attainment is also gained is never considered to be more than that, as in that position no miseries, however difficult they are, can put one off balance. Know that the miseries resulting from contacting matter dissolve in this unification of yoga. That yoga one must practice with firm determination, without deviating in mental speculations that are born from lust. All this total forsaking by the mind is sure to be from the settling of the whole sensory apparatus in all respects. Gradually, step by step, one should intelligently withdraw the mind by means of one's conviction, putting it to the transcendent, not even thinking of making it any other way. From wherever the agitated mind, flickering and unsteady, wanders, one must certainly bring it back under the control of the regulating self. This yogi, whose mind is pacified, attains, with his passions quieted, the spiritual liberation of being freed from all reactions to sin. Thus engaging the soul, always the yogi is freed from sin in the transcendental joy of spiritual union, and thus he attains to its never-ending happiness. The soul in all beings, and all beings in the soul, that is how someone in the spiritual union of yoga sees everywhere with equal vision. For whoever sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am not lost, nor is he lost to me. He who is devoted to me, as situated in the heart of everyone, dwells in oneness, and whatever the circumstances of such a transcendentalist, he will always remain in me. He, O Arjuna, who comparing the joy and sorrow everywhere sees it equally, such a yogi is considered the best. Arjuna said, "Of this system of yoga, generally described by you, O Madhusudana, I do, because of my restlessness, not see its stability in place. The mind is surely fickle, O Krishna, agitating, strong and obstinate. To subdue it, I think, is as difficult as controlling the wind." The Supreme Lord said, "Undoubtedly, O mighty armed one, is the restless mind difficult to curb. But with persistence, O son of Kunti, and also by detachment, it can be controlled. With the mind ill-disciplined, self-realization is difficult in my vision. But endeavoring with a practical mind, controlling appropriately, one will achieve it." Arjuna said, "What is the destiny, O Krishna, achieved by the one who fell from his belief and deviates from the path of yoga with such a mind failing the highest perfection? Does such a one who lost both not perish like a riven cloud without a hold, O mighty armed one, confused on the path of transcendence as he is? This is my doubt, O Krishna, and I ask you to dispel it completely, as besides you there is certainly no other remover of this doubt to be found." The Supreme Lord said, "O son of Prita, there is never in this world, nor in the next one, destruction for one who is engaged in doing good. Surely no one who does good will ever end in trouble." After achieving the worlds of those who performed piously, and after dwelling there for many years, the one who fell from the path of yoga takes birth again in the house of those prosperous and pure. Or he will for sure take birth in the family of experienced yoga adepts, although such a birth is naturally very rare in this world. After that, he will revive the consciousness gained in his previous embodiment, and then again will strive for perfection, O son of Kuru. By that previous practice, he certainly of his own will be attracted and even be inquisitive about yoga and transcend the routines of rite and prayer. Endeavoring methodically, such a transcendentalist will, seeing all his sins washed off in achieving perfection through many, many births, thereafter attain to the highest destination. A yogi is greater than the ascetics and the wise, and also is the yogi considered greater than the ones working for profit. Therefore, O Arjuna, become a yogi. And of all sorts of yogis, the one who in full faith is always within himself thinking of me and rendering transcendental service, I consider to be the greatest.